You're listening to the Prison Poetry Workshop podcast. I'm Ren Smith. Here we present readings, commentary, recordings, and stories about the little known and even less understood literary tradition of prison poetry. Today, New Orleans poet Patrick Young. Patrick's story defies the easy narrative. Even though his neighborhood could be tough, his family was middle class and he went to a good high school.
It was a challenge because I went to a high school known as McMaine, and McMaine was considered a nerd school. In other words, cause you had to have a certain grade point average. So it wasn't, you know, you had to fight that aspect because it's like, okay, you know, nerds aren't tough. So you had to represent that.
When Patrick wasn't trying to maintain status as a tough guy, he dove into books. One of his favorites had to do with young kids battling it out in a situation that looked an awful lot like the dynamic he encountered on the street. Good kids versus bad kids.
My favorite book growing up, I remember, was Lord of the Flies.
The artful, chilling story of castaways degenerating into savagery.
You had kids who would try to make, you know, rational, intelligent decisions based upon preserving life and doing things. And then you had this other group who, they just felt like there was no rules and anything goes, and you had to just do whatever you could to survive.
Patrick survived. He went to college. He discovered poetry. Things looked good. Then tragedy struck. While Patrick was in school, his older brother McKinley, who people called Mac, was killed. Patrick really looked up to Mac, and his murder, still unsolved, devastated him. While still a sophomore in college, Patrick had to identify the body.
It was difficult because, like, we looked, we were very similar in appearance. And so, and having to go and identify the body of somebody who you look like is real tragic. In a sense, because like he got shot like 8 times in the head, and the only way we were able to identify him was through his fingernails.
Needless to say, this all affected Patrick in a profound way. When he returned home, after years of avoiding trouble on the streets, he suddenly courted it. Patrick's life spiraled. He started hanging out with tougher and tougher crowds.
Well, you say gangsters, drug dealers, whoever, just... The popular guys kind of remind me somewhat of the attention my brother would get.
One night, everything came to a head when Patrick opened fire on a crowded nightclub. Someone had told him his brother's killers were there, and he was out for revenge. From there, things only got worse as Patrick committed a spree of liquor store robberies. In a few weeks, the police tracked down his girlfriend, who then called Patrick. During their conversation, Patrick realized he had no way out. The police knew who he was. It was over. So he called them, and he waited for the squad cars to arrive. He just couldn't decide whether he wanted them to find him dead or alive.
I really contemplated just killing myself because I felt like I had let down like the whole world. And so I actually took the gun and I actually pointed it at my head and tried to shoot myself, but it clicked. Nothing happened. So pointed the gun at the wall, shot a bullet into the wall. But I still don't figure out what happened there. It's another one of those miraculous situations. But the cops came. I confessed.
Patrick was sentenced to 15 years in prison. He'd become exactly what he'd been raised not to become, a statistic. He had a lot to think about on the inside. He found himself writing poetry.
But when I started writing letters, the letters kind of took a poetry form because I would try to describe what it would be like in prison. And like nobody kind of like would get it. So I would just have to try to create a picture where you could really see what it's like in prison. And so from there, it kind of like became infectious.
His writing got more deliberate, and so did his life.
It was trying to figure out a way to get out. And Frederick Douglass has a quote that says, the only way for the slave to beat his master is to outthink his master. or outthink the situation.
He became a model prisoner. He got as many jobs as possible and became editor of the prison newspaper. He'd write poems about the realities of prison, and one in particular struck a chord with his readers. That would be other prisoners, of course. It was about all the obstacles his mother overcame to come see him.
I wake up early to drive in silence. While outside it's still dark, but I won't complain. When I arrive 2 hours later, through metal gates and many steel fences, pat down screens, dog sniffing, wet fingertip glass kissing, the you I loves and I you missing, I won't complain.
The poem struck such a chord with his fellow prisoners. They started asking him to write poetry for them.
And when I wrote that, you know, so many guys were like, man, see, that's what I'm talking about. I need something like that. I want something like that.
Despite becoming a model prisoner, Patrick didn't get much time shaved off his sentence. He served 13 of 15 years. To keep himself occupied, he took courses in culinary arts, welding, and sign language, got an associate's degree, and tutored inmates who were studying for their GED. Sometime after he was released, he became a community organizer. Fittingly, considering all the classes he took, he now works for an education nonprofit. He also writes and reads spoken word poetry, and he recently got engaged. But as his life moves on, he hasn't forgotten about the mostly young and black prisoners of Orleans Parish. When he thinks of them and of how society only sees them in the event that, say, one of them escapes to take a stroll down Bourbon Street, he can't help but think of Ralph Ellison's iconic African-American novel, Invisible Man. The book's opening paragraph is considered one of the most stirring ever written.
I am an invisible man. No, I am not a spook like those who haunted Edgar Allan Poe. Nor am I one of your Hollywood movie ectoplasms. I'm a man of substance, of flesh and bone, fiber and liquids, and I might even be said to possess a mind. I am invisible, understand, simply because people refuse to see me.
And for Patrick, that's where poetry comes in.
Sometimes you can become invisible when you're in prison. Poetry has made to where you're going to see me. You know, I'm no longer invisible. Whether I want to be or not, you're going to see me. You're going to hear me.
I'm Ren Smith. We'll be back next week with more prison poetry. To find out how you can lend your voice to our poetry archive, go to prisonpoetryworkshop.org.